There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. Along with us is TJ Inman, and we have a great show for you tonight. Talking about how Indiana is ranked for the first time since 1994, heading to Penn State on Saturday for a noon kickoff against the Nittany Lions. But first, a word from our partners over at Manscaped. Support for Armchair comes from Manscaped, who's number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past, and don't use the same trimmer on your face that you're using down below. That's just nasty. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. You'll thank yourself. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR. That is ARMCHAIR. At manscaped.com, that's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And they have great stuff. They sent us some samples, really cool bag it comes in as well. But now we welcome in TJ Inman. TJ, a big weekend for the Hoosiers who did not play. Yesterday it came out that they're ranked 25th in the coaches poll and 24th in the Associated Press poll. We'll see where they come out in the college football playoff poll on Tuesday, probably somewhere between 24 and 25, I believe, if that holds true. But just how important is it, and how much celebrating should IU fans do being ranked for the first time since 1994?
Well, yeah, I do think it's worth celebrating. I do think it's worth pointing out that, look, this is Indiana football, the players and the staff being recognized for what they have accomplished so far this season. Is it anything to say, look, we've made it, yay, work done or mission accomplished? No, certainly not. But is it worth looking at and saying, look what we've accomplished? Other people are recognizing this and understanding that good things are happening here and that improvement has taken place. Definitely, I think it's something to really be proud of for the players and the coaches to get Indiana football into the polls for the first time since 1994. That's worth celebrating, and it doesn't mean that your work is done. It doesn't mean you've arrived as a program, but I definitely think it shows tangible progress is being recognized by, outside forces that, it was mentioned in one of our group texts, I think, that, look, this is not just, us drinking Kool-Aid and pumping positivity all the time. Other people that have no stake in Indiana football succeeding, other people are saying, look, good work is being done there.
Yeah, and it's definitely something that Indiana should celebrate it, but you can't get caught up in it.
Right.
You're going to Penn State this week. They're ranked, I think, 9th in the AP poll and 11th in the coaches poll, and they were ranked 4th in the college football poll, but that hasn't been released yet this week. They're sure to be down after losing to Minnesota. And what was a great weekend of college football? Talk about your all-time, thank goodness IU's not playing this week. Just a lot of great games on Saturday. You had LSU, Alabama. Illinois had a 25-point comeback against Michigan State. You had the Penn State, Minnesota game. You had Oklahoma and Iowa State as well. And it was just it was a really good weekend. But let's focus on Indiana traveling to Penn State. Penn State's 8-1 now. Kickoff is at noon on ABC. It's a place where Indiana has not won. They have not won at Beaver Stadium. The last time there, they didn't come out well. They fell behind four touchdowns early and just never recovered. And that's something Tom Allen said he hasn't talked with his team about. Unless they had watched the press conference today, it's something that he wants flushed from the memory. There's a lot of people who were on that team who are not on this team now, and we'll see where they go. It's Peyton Ramsey's team now, and you saw what Tanner Morgan did to Penn State on Saturday, and a lot of those routes and offensive concepts are very similar to the offensive concepts that Indiana runs. Now, playing on the road is a lot different than playing at home. But Indiana could have some success on offense if they could get the protection that they had, that they've had over the last couple weeks, protecting the quarterback and running the ball. What are your initial thoughts on this matchup at Penn State, TJ?
I mean, initially, I would like to point out, I will certainly admit when I'm wrong. I was wrong about Minnesota. I did not expect them to win that game, particularly in the fashion that they did. So that was incredibly impressive. And, I was aware of how talented their skill players were. I did not think that they'd be able to handle Penn State in the trenches as they did. Rashad Bateman, Tyler Johnson, Othman Bell, and then their running back trio. That is right up there with any skill position group that you're going to find at the Big Ten. And then Tanner Morgan, incredibly impressive quarterback, very accurate, very intelligent with his decision-making. I thought he played a wonderful game. And then, Minnesota, it should be pointed out that while they did put up a lot of yardage, still only 3 yards per carry against that Penn State run defense. So I think that's going to be a big challenge for Indiana, is staying balanced, because Minnesota did stay committed to the run even when it wasn't being all that successful. They stayed committed to it because they were getting enough that it was not putting them behind the chains. They were still staying on schedule, and it allowed them to be effective through the air. So I think that's going to be important for the Hoosiers to stay committed to running the ball despite what is going to be some difficulty doing so. If they can do anything better than 3 yards per carry, I do think that it's going to be a big deal for the Hoosiers to be able to, keep that passing game or keep Penn State's defense honest. One thing that does concern me a little bit is what happens when Penn State takes Wapfillier away. Because I do think that they'll be able to do that. Can Donovan Hale and Nick Westbrook and Ty Freifogel, Peyton Hendershot, can they do what Rashad Bateman and Tyler Johnson did for Minnesota? Are they able to make those plays? Because some of those plays that they made, those were just great catches, great individual plays made by really good players. And Indiana's receivers are going to have to do that. On the other side of the ball, I was not surprised by any of that. Penn State, I'm not surprised. It's K.J. Hamler and Freiermuth, and then, honestly, I'm not impressed by a whole lot else. I do think that their running backs are serviceable and pretty good, but I don't think that they're exceptional by any means. I don't think they have any game changers necessarily. I think they're just very solid running backs. And then the rest of their receiving core, they're still looking for somebody else besides Hamler and Freiermuth to step up. And so far, I know they expect Shorter to be that guy, but so far it hasn't really happened.
Yeah, it's a Penn State offense that could put up points, and Sean Clifford has been very, very good. But it's been two guys. If you've watched their games, it's been K.J. Hamler, who is very much like Wandale Robinson. He's a little fast guy who can break tackles, blow off the top of the defense. It seems like all these guys, like Wapfield, they're all wearing number one. So if you see a receiver wearing number one, it's usually pretty good. But Hamler, you could expect to see Tywin Mullen on him and go everywhere he goes. The matchup for me that's going to be difficult is Freiermuth. And does IU have that linebacker or that safety that could stay with him? He's a tall guy. He might be too fast for a linebacker to cover, too big for a safety to cover. I think Marcelino Ball needs to have a big game. I think you also get a break that Cam Jones is playing this entire game. He wasn't suspended for the first half. He's a guy that is your most athletic linebacker. He can go and rush the quarterback. He can take guys in coverage. He's a sound tackler. He's the key to this defense on Saturday. And having him, and he was 17 seconds away from being suspended for the first half this week, having him for the entire game is going to be huge. Because if you fall behind Penn State early, they're probably going to be out for blood. They still have an outside shot of getting to the Big Ten title game. They have to go, you know, they have to win this week against Indiana, and then they have to go to Ohio State, who is looking, you know, Ohio State is what we thought they were. They're world beaters, and they're beating the heck out of everybody. So it's definitely going to be a game where Indiana has to show up early. It can't be one of these games that we've seen in the past, and this fan base is just, I feel like half of them are just waiting for the other shoe to drop still. And you know, if there's a repeat of history at Penn State and you fall behind by a couple touchdowns early, it's a huge hole to dig yourself out of. Now, look, if Indiana goes to Penn State and plays their A game and loses, so what? You could call it a moral victory, call it whatever you want. If they go and play their A game and Penn State plays their A game, Penn State's probably going to win. They have been recruiting better for years longer than IU. They're playing at home. That's just football. That's what happens. If two teams play their A game, the team with the most talent is probably going to win. But what I want to see out of Indiana is, can you go on the road and play your A game from kickoff till that final whistle and give it your best shot? If you come out of there and perform well, you get Michigan at home the next week, and then you go to Purdue. You have all your goals are still on the table, winning a bowl game and getting 8 wins and getting the bucket back and all those things. So I don't, it's not a meaningless loss, because now you have stakes. Now you're ranked. There's expectations and things like that. A loss would stink. But it's a place Indiana's never won before, and you just look for them to play well. It is basically the ask. Play well, play your game, control what you can control, and let's see where the cards fall. And maybe Penn State is – you see everybody with their you know, I wish Penn State would have won and things like that. Now you get an angry Penn State team, and I don't really buy into that. Yeah, it would have been going to the game would have been awesome if Penn State won that game. Now you're talking about a team who's fighting for the college football playoff and might be looking ahead to next week against Ohio State, but the atmosphere would have been so much different. Maybe now you got a noon kickoff. It's kind of the air gets sucked out of the balloon a little bit. You're coming off a really tough loss where Penn State didn't play that well. They turned the ball over 3 times. They let Minnesota throw the ball all over the yard. Tanner Morgan was 18 to 20 for 339 yards. Yes, his playmakers made plays, but There were a lot of mistakes that Penn State made, including a muff punt by Hamler late in the game that cost them about 10 or 15 yards worth of field position, which came back in the end to bite them as they threw a red zone pick. But, you know, you don't know what you're going to get until you step on that field. You could get a really angry Penn State team. You could. But you could also get a Penn State team who's kind of flat, who's kind of deflated, and in a noon game atmosphere where, you know, nowadays in college football, the fans don't really show up on time for noon. Indiana has a chance to start fast and maybe control the ball game early a little bit as well. TJ, let's quickly get into keys to the game. What on you mentioned Indiana's playmakers outside of WAP have to make plays if they take WAP away. Mm-hmm. What else does Indiana have to do to win this game?
I think the first thing they have to do is maintain somewhat of a running game. I mentioned it earlier, you cannot give up on the run and just go completely to the pass. That's not going to be successful. Even if Penix was the quarterback, and it certainly won't be successful with Peyton Ramsey at quarterback. Ramsey needs to have an effective running game, and he needs to be part of it. If Indiana is going to beat Penn State, Ramsey's going to have to make some plays with his legs. That does not mean that you run read options constantly with him or anything like that, but it means when plays break down, he's going to have to find a way to get first downs with his legs. Sean Clifford can do that very effectively, Penn State's quarterback. He actually has more rushing attempts than any single Penn State running back this season, which is a kind of an interesting statistic that largely just means, hey, Penn State spreads the ball around a lot as far as their running backs go. None of their running backs necessarily are a bell cow, but it also does mean that Clifford, you know, he runs the ball quite a bit. And Ramsey needs to be effective with his legs and pick his spots wisely and pick up, you know, maybe on like third and six. Play breaks down, instead of forcing it into coverage or throwing it away, you pick up a first down by getting 8 yards with your legs. Plays like that are ones that are going to have to be made, and that's a part of the running game as well. I think the other kind of key for me, you mentioned starting fast, but I'm going to say avoid getting into a situation where you're giving up a big run to Penn State. And I don't mean big run as in a single play, but big run as in a scoring run for Penn State.
Yep.
You cannot let kind of, let's say, Indiana gets a turnover, gives Penn State good field position, and then Penn State scores. And then Indiana gets a three and out. Give the ball back to Penn State, they score again. You know, you cannot give up those huge momentum plays to Penn State because that crowd will devour you. The atmosphere can devour you. We saw them avoid that against Nebraska, where it looked like Nebraska was going to get on one of those types of runs and bury the Hoosiers, but they turned the tide on them and kept that at bay. They're going to have to do the same thing in State College.
Yeah, outside of Ohio State, I think maybe a little bit in the Michigan State game, IU really hasn't had that run, where the opponent goes and gets, you know, 14 or 21 points in a row to kind of bury them. He kind of had it in Nebraska early, but after that, Indiana went on, I think it was a 22-3 run or something like that, and they've been pretty good this season. And, yeah, you could say what you want about the offenses that they faced during this, but they've avoided that, to use a baseball term, they've avoided the big inning. Outside of the Ohio State game. So I think they've done a good job at that. For me, the key to the game is going to be how the defense plays against Freiermuth and KJ Hamler. I think this Penn State offense goes as Hamler goes and Freiermuth goes. I was shocked that Penn State did not use Freiermuth in the red zone there in that last couple drives. You know they're going to want to try and fix that, but it's, can you make somebody else beat you? They have talented guys. They were fourth in the college football playoff ranking for a reason. but make somebody else beat you. Don't let KJ Hamler or Pat Freiermuth beat you. It's kind of taken away. They're going to get theirs, you know, a little bit. They'll get some targets and get some catches and some yards, but avoid the 60-yard KJ Hamler over-the-top touchdown or scoring on a reverse or the Pat Freiermuth 30-yard pass on third down and things like that. So make somebody else beat you. Make, you know, Sean Clifford, he's a really good quarterback. He's looked really good this season. He did look like he got banged up against Minnesota. They were talking about in his hand a little bit. So, you know, get after the quarterback, make somebody else beat you other than Hamler and Freiermuth. And then on offense, like you said, TJ, it doesn't have to be 28 rushing plays to 28 passing plays, that kind of bounce offense, because that's not what this offense is. The strength of this offense is in the passing game, and then you run off of that. And they're not going to run Peyton Ramsey on the read option 8,000 times because, well, now Penix is out for the year, and you don't really have that insurance policy anymore. So
no.
Throw the ball, use your weapons, loosen up that defense in the passing game. Then you could run Stevie Scott. Stevie Scott has also been very, very good in the passing game. And I'd like to see them use Ronnie Walker and Samson James a little bit more too. I know James has had his fumbling issues early in the season, but, you know, it's hard. He's a four-star guy, a lot of talent. There was talk in fall camp that he might eventually pass Stevie Scott. But Stevie Scott has really come on really well in the last couple, you know, the last month or so. So it's, you want a balanced offense, but you don't, it doesn't have to be 50-50. It could be use that pass to set up the run. And when you need to control the game, then like at Nebraska, you run the ball with Stevie Scott and maybe you're in that position where you wear them down a little bit and get those three big first downs to close it out. But what's your – we kind of talked about this too, but before we get into predictions here, TJ, what's your matchup that you're watching on the field on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm going to go well, I think you can almost always say the line to scrimmage, but I just think it's particularly interesting because you have Indiana's offensive line, which I think has – exceeded expectations this season. Some would say wildly exceeded expectations in some instances. I'm going to go to Hoosiers offensive line going against Penn State's defensive line and linebackers because they bring so much pressure at times and they really do have a ton of talent in that front seven. I mean, Micah Parsons, Cam Brown, I think that they've got Jansen. They have as good a linebackers as you're going to find in the Big Ten. And then I think
and
the
something
defensive
that nobody's
line,
talking about was Micah Parsons was out for the first couple drives against Minnesota.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it, for behavior adjustment is, I believe, what they called it on the broadcast. But I don't know how much his behavior is going to be adjusted by missing a couple of series, but I guess that's for Penn State to worry about. They have as good a linebacker as you're going to find in the Big Ten. The defensive line, while not as talented as Ohio State's or even probably Michigan's, a lot of talent there as well. And Indiana's going to be tasked with trying to open up enough of a running game to keep the defense honest and to keep the offense balanced and prevent Peyton Ramsey from getting into trouble. Give him clean pockets for him to be able to make the plays in the passing game. Minnesota's offense did a really nice job of that. You know, your quarterback can be really good, but if he doesn't have a pocket to throw from, he's going to struggle. And they gave Tanner Morgan a pocket to throw from so that he could exploit the matchups that they had in the secondary. So that's what I'm going to go with is Indiana's offensive line against Penn State's front seven.
Yeah, I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to go Indiana's front seven against Penn State's offensive line. You saw Clifford struggled with pressure in his face. how are they going to blitz Cam Jones? Are they going to bring pressure? Are they going to double team people? You know, it's going to be interesting to see what Indiana does, but they need to get pressure on Sean Clifford. If they don't get pressure on the quarterback, he can sit back there and pick you apart. I don't care if you have your immediate wide receiver. If you give a guy, you know, 10 seconds back there, he's going to put the ball where one of his teammates could catch it. So getting after them, the defensive line has really played well the last couple weeks, especially against Northwestern. They seem to be playing with an edge. It's been a staple of these Mark Hagan coach defensive lines that they get a better performance. You know, their sum is greater than their parts, and
yeah.
It's a different guy kind of each week. But now you see, you know, Jonathan King made a play last game, forcing a fumble. James Head has been making plays. You had Alan Stallings and Alfred Bryant making plays. Jerome Johnson has been solid. CO has been solid. And DeMarcus Elliott, a guy who really, really started playing well at the beginning of the year. His name hasn't been called as often, but he's been solid all year as well. So this Indiana front seven, Raekwon Jones has to get after it as well. The two Jones and linebackers need to be all over the field. And that's breaking up passes, making tackles, and getting after the quarterback, because if you give Sean Clifford time, he's going to pick you apart. So that's my matchup to watch. TJ, predictions before we get out of here.
Well, you're going to hear a lot about Indiana's never won at Penn State. Indiana's never won in State College. Last time Indiana beat a top 10 team on the road. A lot of that type of talk, and you know, that's all. They will be facts. They will be true. None of it really matters. I don't think any of it applies to this year's Indiana team or this year's Penn State team. So I'm not making this pick based on historical precedent. However, I am going to make a pick for Penn State based on just how I feel about this year's actual matchup. I do think Penn State is the better team. I do think that Indiana's going to play well. I don't think it'll be quite well enough to get the win in State College, but I do think Indiana's quite competitive and leaves us feeling pretty good about things moving forward at 7-3, hosting Michigan and taking on Purdue. You know, I think the Hoosiers will do well enough offensively to stay competitive in this one, but I think the defense struggles to keep Penn State from scoring. So I'm going to go Penn State winning this game 34-27. 34-27 in favor of the Nittany Lions.
Ooh. That's closer than I think I picked.
I do think Penn State's going to be comfortably ahead in this one. I don't think it's going to be one where, you know, IU has a chance to win at the end. I think Penn State is one of those games where they're up by, you know, 10, 14, 7, something like that the entire way.
That makes sense. I was going to go at Penn State 38, Indiana 24. I think Indiana's going to give it their, you know, have a good performance. It's just that their A performance might not be enough if Penn State gives their,
right,
you know, a B-plus performance or better. Now, look, I'd love to be wrong. But it's a tough, tough ask to go there. Just play well. Don't cough up fumbles. Don't cough up kickoff returns for a touchdown. Don't let you know, their running back throw for touchdowns and things like that. Just go out there, play your best, and roll the dice and see where they land. Look, if 7-3 is still a great spot to be at with Michigan coming in the week after, it's been a fantastic season. This win does not nullify anything, or this loss would not nullify anything that Indiana has done this season to this point. People are gonna knock Indiana's schedule. Well, guess what? you can't control who you play in conference. You can't control that Rutgers is a tire fire and Northwestern is having a historically bad season. You just can't control that. That's luck of the draw. They did a smart thing with scheduling Ball State, Connecticut, and Eastern Illinois. That's what you're supposed to do with the building program. Fans could complain about all that you want. Well, guess what? If you don't sell out the Michigan game, I don't really care who you schedule, because you're not coming out to see UConn or Eastern Illinois anyway. You're coming out to see your IU team. So they do a really good job to get those three wins. You got to find three wins in conference. They found four, and now you got to move on. Now you got to see what they're going to do with this recruiting class, which is probably going to be a smaller class since they have a lot of underclassmen and not a lot of attrition. And then see how much other stuff you could do. Are you going to, a few more facility upgrades? What bowl game are you going to go to? All those things. So this, in the grand scheme of things, a win would be awesome. A loss does not really damage. You might fall out of the top 25 if other teams win. You might stay in it if you play well. But you know what? That streak was over. And that streak was, I think, 13 years longer than the next streak. The next longest streak, which is, coincidentally Purdue, which is kind of a added bonus to breaking that streak. But it was 13 years longer. It's about time that streak ended. And they're checking off boxes, TJ, that haven't been checked off in decades. And that's where this program is at. They're winning games that they're supposed to win. We'll see if they could – this would be an historic win on the road. We'll see if they're at that point yet. But rolling in to senior day at 7-3, you should feel pretty good about that. So, TJ, thanks for joining me. Stay warm on this snowy night, and good luck getting your kids to bed.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. I'll need more luck doing that than you will at Penn State. So, yeah, I think the line would be TJ plus about 500. So we'll see how it goes. Thank you. Have a good week, everybody.
All right, that does it for the Hoosier Huddle podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can listen on iTunes and Armchair Sports Network. You can follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. You can come back to HoosierHuddle.com for all your Indiana football coverage. As always, Indiana kicks off at Penn State at noon on ABC in Happy Valley this weekend. They, before returning home for Senior Day, they take on Michigan. It'll be a 3:30 kick on either ABC or ESPN. Outside of that, we're in the final quarter of the regular season. And thanks for joining us throughout this. It's been a really fun journey this season, and I hope you're enjoying the ride as well. So thanks for joining us. Stay safe on these snowy roads, and enjoy the rest of the week.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.